tent city.
Okay.
The government, of course, is under fire for making and for clearing a makeshift migrant camp in Dublin, Mount Street, ahead of St. Patrick's Day on Saturday. Activists have blasted the decision to move 200 asylum seekers from the tents on Mount Street to another camp near the Dublin Mountains in a cynical ploy. Five coaches arrived at Mount Street before 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, and the men, 200 of them I think it was, who had been sleeping in the tents near the International or the IPAS Centre, the International Protection Office, were bussed to Saggart. They thought they were going to accommodation, but they weren't. They were going to more tents. They were just given another tent. Now, they did say, by the way, and Leo Varadkar defended his decision and said it was for health and safety reasons. Some of the men had come down with scabies and things like that because they'd been living out on the streets. And he said at least up there, they'd be able to have a shower and go to the toilet because they have bathrooms and showers. They might be still living in tents, but they'll have bathrooms and showers. Social Democrats TD Jennifer Whitmore said, men being moved from one tent to another. Just this time, it's the country and away from Dublin streets, Dublin St. Patrick's Day parade. And I did say it, by the way, in a very cynical view, the only reason they were moving them was because of the parade. Labour TD Aon O'Riordan said, amazing what some political pressure can do, because he was all excited, because he genuinely thought they were being given accommodation just because he went out and made a plonker of himself doing a video about 4 days previous to that. Have you noticed, by the way, since the referendum, those tents have been there since before Christmas, by the way, but have you noticed since the referendum, how many politicians have been out doing videos at the tents, using it as a political football? They couldn't care less. Let's be clear about it. They're pretending to care. Because if they really cared, all of those, including Leona Reardon, they would be saying, enough is enough. We need to stop letting people into the country because there's nowhere for them to live. But they won't say that. What they say is there is no limit on the numbers, but it's up to everyone else to find out somewhere for them to live. If Leona Reardon cared, Breed Smith, or anybody else who went down there with their video cameras, Avala Bacik from Labour, they all went down and took a little video. If they really cared, bring them home to your house. If that's what you want to do, if you really care about them, bring them home to your house. As soon as they walked back to Mount Street, the men weren't happy, by the way, when they were brought up the Dublin Mountains. They decided to climb back out over the wall and come back to Dublin again on foot. Now they're back in Mount Street again. And of course, the social justice warriors were there last night and yesterday, bringing them more tents and more supplies. And I go, social justice warriors, if you really care about them, bring them home to your house. The people of Dunleary, seemingly, they care a lot about them. Bring them home to your house, people of Dunleary. There's loads of houses in Dunleary with spare rooms, I'm sure. Bring them home to your house. But they won't, because it's somebody else's problem, isn't it? But I want to know what you think. Now, some people are saying online, they're treating hundreds of refugees inhumanely and moving them around like chess pawns is like there's some sort of inconvenience to society is just wrong on every single level. So the question is, I'm asking today is, do you have any sympathy for these men? Because a lot of people are saying they do, but I've seen some people and I say, no, I've no sympathy. They shouldn't be here. They interviewed one guy yesterday online from Pakistan and he said he'd been in Birmingham, but he didn't think it was safe. Now, Britain is a reasonably safe country, isn't it? You can't claim asylum from Britain. He said he came to Scotland, destroyed his passport, and then came to Ireland. Down to the north, obviously. But destroyed his passport. And they do that, of course, to delay our authorities, to make sure they get to stay here longer, and then at some point then they don't get returned home again. But he's not an asylum seeker. He was in Birmingham. He obviously claimed asylum in the UK and got refused. And that's why he's come to Ireland. We're a soft touch. We're a bunch of Egypts over in this country. Let me know what you think. Do you have any sympathy for these men who've been living in tents and still are? The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. John, hi.
You. Yeah, it's a pantomime, isn't it? You couldn't make this stuff up at all. It's so amusing in some ways for the carry on.
Mm.
Yeah. Now,
Do you feel sorry for the lads?
I feel sorry for about 500 million people in the world that won't like to get to Europe, and we haven't got enough room for them. But that's a different thing entirely now. You know, if I were in Roderick and Vlad's shoes with all this hassle and pantomime going on, I would simply utilise the Curragh camp and the vast plain there with the army barracks, and build a huge holding encampment with all facilities, showers, etc., for all of the illegal migrants in the country. Now,
when you say illegal migrants, people who've entered the country with no documentation, you mean, yeah?
Exactly, okay. Exactly.
Who claimed asylum.
And then every town and village now suffering under the invasion and the fear of going out at night, young people walking the streets, all that would be back to normal. And they would be all held together. And then when that happens, that should happen, and then I would prohibit all the NGOs and the legal profession access and legislate for fast-track processing of all the Afghanis, Georgians, Pakistanis, Algerians. And then, you know, Hungary has not taken in one Muslim, and neither has Poland. Neither have the Greeks. Okay, bear that in mind. People may not all know that. Now, how can they get away with that and not be bossed around by Brussels and threatened? I know Hungary has been...
Well, you shouldn't be able to pick and choose people by religion, by the way.
Well, I'm not talking about... No. Yeah, well, I agree with you, but by the same token, if you have an inordinate number of people of a very different culture coming into your country, then after... Where does it stop? If they become a majority, is your culture wiped out? You know? Mm. Dublin is now a tip. I would not go into the city centre anymore, Parnell Street, Moore Street. It's like Brixton in London was 50 years ago.
Why do you believe that? Because it's people who are not ethnically Irish, is it?
Well, yeah, because I feel I'm back in Brixton in London 50 years ago, and I was frightened when I was there because there was hardly a white face in the place.
I'm struggling. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm agreeing with a lot of what you're saying, John. But as soon as people started mentioning skin colour, then I got concerned about the conversation.
I was saying, yeah. I agree with you. Well, look, if they were all... Look,
when you were in Brixton, can I ask a question? When you were in Brixton, were you a foreigner? You were, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, but I was just a bit stunned.
The only difference was you didn't have black skin.
Yeah, I was stunned, that's all. I just said to myself, oh,
No, I'm only trying to make a point. Just because somebody's not from a country doesn't make them necessarily always bad. I mean, you were in Brixton.
You were
a foreigner.
I totally agree with you. Yeah. I'm not saying they are. There's a lot of people. Look, a lot of them have come here to better themselves, to try and escape grinding poverty, to get a better life and all that. And I have nothing against that. But the problem is, when they come here without any processing or control, there's all...
No, I agree with that. Yeah. I mean, you can't just have open borders. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. But there will always be a large amount of bad apples in that crowd.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And all that now, you know, so it's getting out of control now because the processing of them.
Getting back to the lads that were in the tents that were moved on Saturday morning up to other tents out in the middle of the countryside somewhere. Do you feel sorry for them? They're kind of being used as these political pawns at the moment.
Are they being used as pawns?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think, if I was a politician, I am an ordinary citizen, but if I lived anywhere within a mile or two of Mount Street, I'd be pissed off as well.
Well, I know somebody who has an apartment right at the back of all those tents. And by the way, she's the biggest lefty I know. She's a nice person, but she's the biggest lefty I know, and she's pissed off.
Yeah. I mean, of course, if you'd paid €400,000 for a luxury apartment there, wouldn't you be pissed off too?
Well, you would, because the smell, I believe the smell down the lane is just atrocious of excrement and food and dirt and everything. I believe it's atrocious. It shouldn't be allowed to happen. It should never be allowed to happen, but who do I blame? I blame the government for letting too many people in the first place. Morris, thanks, John. Morris, hi.
Happy Patrick's weekend to you. How are you getting on?
You too. Happy Patrick's weekend to you. I'm grand. Yeah. So, Morris, do you feel sorry for these lads?
Not at all, no. I couldn't believe they played the cards they played when they were shipped out to Crookshank Hospital out on the Blessington Road. As soon as somebody started talking to them, the fellas that were disgruntled, they played the Palestine flag. Oh, my wife and children are in Palestine. Why aren't you over there dying with them?
I did see that video of somebody asking him, and he said he was from Palestine. Yeah. I don't believe he's from Palestine, by the way.
Not at all. They were playing there. And you know what? They have flags down in Mount Street now, Palestinian flags flying. They're a shower of fucking chancers, right? So,
well, one of the lads that was interviewed said he was from Pakistan. And he said he came to London. He kind of slipped up and said he was in London or in Birmingham.
I've seen that.
Yeah, for 6 months.
Yeah, I sent that video in to your researcher.
Yeah, he said it wasn't safe there. And he says, what do you mean it wasn't safe? There's nothing wrong with Britain.
Do you know what he called it? Stab City. Yeah. He called it Stab City.
Yeah.
And he said, what did you do
lovely
in
parts
Birmingham?
Of Birmingham. Birmingham's a really nice place.
I have family over there the last 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, and I have nieces and nephews there.
Then he went to Scotland and got rid of his passport.
And then he came across through the north into Dublin. And he said, I should be given a house. He's only here a week and a half.
That's right. He said he wants a house. Yeah.
He said there's 6 other trains that were caught on a container at Rosslare. And the police escorted it to the local station. And he said, we're not giving you the priority to land in Ireland. He was sent straight back to France the next day. That's a smuggling job. So everybody should get the message. Land in Ireland illegally and you're going back. Now, as far as turning the city centre of Dublin into an open toilet, and like you said, politicians jumping on the bandwagon, like the likes of Aidan or Reardon.
I found these videos that they were doing during the week. Ivana Bacic, Breed Smith, Aidan O'Reardon. Yeah. It's actually stomach churning to watch them.
Because
these are the same three politicians, by the way, will turn around and tell you there should be no limit on the amount of people we allow into the country. The same
and do you know
agents.
What they'll do? They'll probably put in for a mileage allowance for travelling down there and the taxpayer will pay for it. But O'Reardon was only voted into government after the 14th count. So what's he bragging about?
Yeah.
The people rejected him.
Yeah, but can I just say, he's running as a European MEP. Don't vote for him. That's exactly the lesson.
Leave Moscow Mick out there with Claire Daly. They're doing a bleeding great job.
Well, Europe is by the way, Morris, Europe is really important. Yeah. I think it's really important that we send the right people to Europe because remember, 70% of our laws come from Europe. So I think it's really important. The problem is we don't have good representation in Europe at the moment. The bunch of Aegis that we have over there, they're a bunch of lefties.
Go on.
Tense.
Yeah. These people don't know what they're doing. They're here, they're opportunists. They're the worst that could land in the country. And you know what the fella said that said from Palestine? Hang on a minute, you, with your camera up here in Cruisling or whatever he said he was, you know? He was Irish, went all over the world. We got the right to do it. Well, look, listen, pal, everywhere we went, we got a job and we contributed to the society. We didn't come in living off the backs of the taxpayers in Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah. If you didn't have the money, you'd be going.
And I mean to say, listen, living on the side of the street for over months now, they moved them out to a safer area out in the Dublin mountains where there's fresh air and sheep if they want a bit of pleasure for themselves. There was toilets and there were showers.
Leo Varadkar said it was for health and safety reasons.
Exactly. Get them off the street to Dublin and then they're moaning. And you know what? They really caused a traffic situation out there because they were walking both sides of the roads in the video.
That could have been
a terrible traffic accident, you know?
Yeah, they walked back to Dublin. Yeah.
And out of the 200 that was put out there, only 20 to 30 came back to Dublin. So they're hardcore. Go back to Dublin, get what we want, and then let's kick off again. So what I'd say to anybody, every one of those that didn't want to stay out in Crookesley, down to the Rosslare, on a boat, go back to Europe or go back to England where you came from, or Scotland.
All right, listen, thank you very much indeed for Morris for that. Let me just go to Linda if I can. Linda, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you doing?
Good, nice to talk to you. Now, I know this is your first time, so it's just me and you. We're like mates in a pub, just chatting away. So Linda, I mean, I suppose this story has been huge over the weekend, you know, it is a bit of a political pawn. They are being used as political pawns by all these politicians, clearly. But, I mean, do you feel any sympathy for these lads, you know, coming in and having to live in tents?
I think this is Ireland. It's always raining. It's always cold in Ireland. So from a human perspective, it's immoral and inhumane to do what they're doing to people, putting them on the streets. But I do believe they're using them as political pawn, and I do believe they should be deported. They shouldn't be coming here. I don't believe we're security conscious. We're allowing people in without passports. Why are we doing that? And why all of a sudden are we being inundated with men and not women and children? It just seems to be men. Mm-hmm. So I feel that, like I had an encounter with asylum seekers or migrants in City West.
Yeah.
And they were extremely hostile, and that frightened me.
Yeah.
Whereas before, like, we had refugees coming and they weren't as hostile.
Yeah.
I felt they were a lot friendlier. So I don't know. And I don't know whether it's the atmosphere or whether or what's going on at the moment, but there is a fear in society, and I feel that the government are not listening. What Leo Varadkar said about safety, he's not interested in safety and health. They shouldn't have been on the streets in the first place. Because of St. Patrick's Day, I think he moved them.
It was all aesthetics. It was aesthetics,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It was, yeah, completely. Politicians, yeah, don't care. They're not listening to people. It's inhumane. Look, we have Irish people on the streets. Why aren't you doing anything about them? That's what I'd say to politicians. Why do you not care?
I was thinking. When I watched Eoin O'Riordan and Breed Smith and Vanna Batchik and all of them do their little videos during the week and putting them up online of them walking down Mount Street, you know, past all the tents, I said, why weren't you just doing that 5 years ago when there was Irish people, yeah, living on the streets? If you remember rightly, in and around the same time on St. Patrick's Day, about 6 or 7 years ago, actually, it was just after COVID, or it could have been before COVID, I can't remember. Dublin City Council went around the canals. Remember, do you remember taking all the tents off the Irish homeless people? Do you remember that?
Yeah, scandalous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I don't believe them. I think they just want a vote now. That's why they're all backtracking, because the referendum, the whole lot, they backtracked when they realised, you know what, the Irish people are sick of it. We're sick of not being listened to. And we've had enough. We've had enough with our own economic crisis here, our housing crisis. So where are we going to put people if we don't have homes for the Irish people? And not just Irish people, I'm talking about Irish citizens. You don't have to be Irish born to be an Irish citizen. So I hate when they say far right or racist, because you're shutting down an important debate that we should be having. We should be debating these issues.
And by the way, can I ask you a question? Do you believe multiculturalism works? There's very few few examples of that around the world where it has worked. But do you believe it works at all?
Absolutely not. I think diversity is fantastic. If you have a lot of people coming from different cultures and they're all going to assimilate into the Irish culture, just like America. Mm. America had an American dream because everybody moved to America and became an American. And I think when you try to say, like, oh, you can't be a nationalist, but nationalism was great even during the war with Hitler. If it wasn't for nationalists, Hitler would have ruled the whole of Europe. I think multiculturalism can't work because different cultures are going to compete to be dominant in that society, and then we're just going to have race wars. And that's what they're doing at the moment, because they're already putting certain people on the pedestal and then telling, like, other people that you're wrong and you're bad.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so they've already painted a picture to divide us by race, and I don't like that either. We shouldn't be looking at people's skin color. We should be looking at their character.
Absolutely. No, I don't like anybody who even mentions, well, when I say mention skin colour, of course people can mention skin colour.
Yeah, you're very good. Yeah, but you're very good with your political views. Yeah.
I think once you mention skin colour, I think you'll probably lose the debate.
Absolutely,
But because you are right, it's more about culture than colour, and absolutely.
Yeah.
But, okay, and I do agree with you, by the way. I think it's very difficult to, you know, it is very difficult to assimilate in the first place, but it is very difficult when you have one culture wanting to be dominant over another, particularly
and
when
you
you're
can
in
see
Native
look at the world, if you look at the world right now, there's a lot of terrorism, there's a lot of crime in different countries. People come here for a safer place to live, and they're running away from terrorism. But if you're going to open the borders, like, who are you letting in? Like, you know what I mean? That's what I fear.
I don't understand, okay? Suddenly we're seeing political pressure. Suddenly we're seeing the Garda Síochána. Say, for example, the 7 people that arrived in Rosslare the other day. So 6 of them were deported immediately that night. I believe the other one was supposed to be a minor. Now, minor could mean 17 years of age or lying about their age. It could mean anything, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, 6 of them were put back on the boat and sent back to France, okay? That's what we should be doing. That's the job of the immigration. That's our Department of Immigration. That's the job of the Garda Síochána. That is their job. So who gave the order 2 years ago, for example, not to do that? Do you
absolutely
understand what I'm saying?
That's so, what we should be asking.
And who gave the order to suddenly start doing it again? Was it a politician? Was it a senior Garda official? Who gave that order to ignore the law for the last 2 years? And suddenly, in the last 2 weeks, we're seeing it implemented because there's an election on the way. That's what I'd like to know.
That's a great question. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We need to know that.
Listen. It was lovely talking to you, Linda. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. I appreciate
you. Thank you,
Niall. Okay, let me just go to Jackie. Jackie, hi, how are you?
I'm great. And what you said there, that is a brilliant question.
Mm.
Because that gets to the root of the of the whole thing there, because who was actually pulling those strings and and saying, yeah, they're in, they're out.
It's like, actually, Jackie, I do apologise, and I'm going to come straight back to you. It's just that I didn't realise, and I forgot that Madeline had been waiting a lot longer.
Okay.
So, Jackie, stay there with me. Just stay there with me. Madeline, I do apologise. Sorry, Madeline.
No, you're grand. Sure, I'm always intrigued listening to the fabulous, open, honest discussions on your programme, Niall.
Thanks very much indeed, Madeline. I'll take that as a big compliment, and so will Jackie.
Oh, no, absolutely, absolutely. Do I have any sympathy for what happened over the weekend? Anybody with an ounce of empathy doesn't want to see anybody living in tents or being homeless. But, I mean, this has gone beyond ridiculous what is happening. Where in our constitution or our laws or our rules was it allowed that people could set up a tent city in the middle of town? It is absolutely ridiculous. I think law and order has been completely lost in this country, and it's getting critically dangerous, not only with the outbreak of diseases that's happening because these people are living in these conditions, but it's going to come into our hospitals. And if you've been unfortunate enough to have to go to an A&E department over the last few months, you're looking at an 8 to 10 hour in accident and emergency. Now, that's not right.
Yeah.
That is not right.
No, it's not.
And
no.
This is going to put extra pressure on all our services. And I just thought over the weekend, Patrick's weekend, shame, shame, shame on all those government ministers that went swanning off all over the world, swapping bowls with Shamrock while this debacle was unfolding in town. Absolute shame on them.
Their timing was perfect, actually, to abandon the country essentially while we were in political crisis. While they're in political crisis, in the hope that when they return on Monday, they don't return on Monday because they're on a break at the moment, aren't they? So they return maybe the following week. And when they return the following week, we'll have all forgotten about the referendum.
But we're not. Irish people now are absolutely sick of it. I mean,
I'd like to agree with you, Madeline. I'd like to agree with you. But I think that Irish people, you know, they'll go to the polls in June, you know, for their European MEPs and for the local elections, and then for the general election, probably the end, towards the end of the year. The government will play the general election clever. They'll have it in November when the weather is cold, so not many people will turn up for the vote. That's what they'll do. They're clever enough. They'll wait till just after the budget, okay? So,
well, they taught that with
and
the,
Irish
with
people forget. It's like they've amnesia. So look at Fianna Fáil did to the country back, you know, in 2009, and yet we voted for them again. You know, I mean, I don't get it.
Well, I think that the last referendum has shown that people are willing now to stand up to them. I mean, this is a disgraceful show of leadership for any leader to walk away from a country and leaving this mess. It's immoral, it's inhumane, and it's illegal what they're doing. I mean, where is it lost, the word illegal? These people, I know you're saying they're fleeing other countries, but how are you fleeing a country when you come in dressed in the best of gear, with the best of luggage, with the best of clothes, the best of phones?
Because they're not coming from other countries. They're coming from the UK, most of them.
Exactly. So they're not refugees. They're not.
Let's be clear. Most of them are not refugees. Most of them don't qualify to be asylum seekers. And as I said, you heard the guy from Pakistan who was interviewed there in Mount Street. He came from Birmingham. You know what I mean?
And if you were genuinely, Niall, coming from a country looking for a better life, you'll have your passport, you'll have your paperwork, you'll have your credentials. I mean, it speaks volumes that these people are coming in with absolutely no paperwork whatsoever. We don't know who they are or what they are or where they're coming from. All we know is they're setting up tents in town, and they've compromised the health and safety of this country. The governments have aided and abetted criminality. They've aided and abetted now the disease spreading. They're aiding and abetting this, turning, ghettoising the country. That's what they're doing.
So what should happen? Or is it too late? Has the horse already bolted, Madeline?
The guy that was on earlier there talked about sending them all down to the holding centre down there.
In the Curragh. That's the Australian style of doing things, yeah.
A holding centre and go through people's paperwork, and if they don't have it, just send them back. Anybody with valid credentials, yeah, we look at them. But this is ridiculous. We're losing our country. We're being invaded. And you know, it's written that Muslims are going to take over the world. It is written. You know,
It is the fastest growing religion in the world. Hang on, Madeline. Stay there for a second because I want to bring Jackie back in now. Sorry, Jackie. I do apologise. So, Jackie, you hear what Madeline says? We should go down the Australian route, which you know, people have condemned Australia for what they do. They essentially put people in holding centres and they process them within 24 to 48 hours or as quick as they possibly can. And those who don't qualify are immediately sent back to where they came from, and those that do are allowed to stay.
Yeah, but again, do another step back and say, well, okay, why are they coming here in the first place? And the fact of the invitations being sent out in so many different languages and all that.
Well, we all know why. That's Rodrigo Gorman. So, he has to go. But that's the first step. Resign. Rodrigo Gorman needs to resign.
Yeah. Okay, so so the first step has to be stopped. And, you know, so is there a need then? Because if you happen, as many people coming in. We always had immigration coming into this country. And look at the Sunday Independent there in relation to the Garda that was stamping, you know.
Taking money to stamp the passports, stamp the papers.
Now, if people think that that's just an isolated incident or situation there, they're so wrong. This has been going on for years and years and years, and there's a major cover-up going on there, definitely. So we have been getting immigrants for years, 20, 30 years. So it's nothing new, but the scale of it now has increased, and it has increased in so many other European countries. And I would say, and this is going to sound mad, we have to look at the EU. Should we be part of this? We have to kind of sit back and say, do we want all these problems? Because they're being created by the EU.
But we don't. I mean, according to Micheál Martin, we do. But I've spoken to legal experts who said we don't have to go along with that aspect of it. We don't have to allow as many people as we're letting in at the moment, that we're being over generous. The government will state that they have to, they have an obligation under the EU laws. They don't, as far as I'm aware, and I've been told by a barrister, we don't have to do that.
Yeah, well, they going back to your initial question about, you know, is it right or whatever, and your last lady was saying there, no one wants to see people living in those circumstances. But we've had Irish living in those circumstances again for years, and no one was really jumping up and down about it.
But what I can't understand is, go back to 2019, you know, when there was a housing crisis. I remember Apollo House, when was that? Back in 2017, Apollo House, was it a 16? You know, when the homeless people took over the building in town. And there was a whole hoo-ha about getting them out of it and horrible and get them out of it and get all these bloody protesters. Anyway, and we've had a housing crisis and a homeless crisis. 14,000 people at the moment currently homeless or in temporary accommodation. And at no stage before this particular crisis, going back to sort of before COVID, if we want to, let's skip the COVID years. At no stage did I see any government saying, let's build modular houses, or let's suddenly find accommodation for people, or we can suddenly make houses for them, or make these houses appear. Where are all these people? I mean, the 100,000 Ukrainian people that come to Ireland, actually over 100,000, and there's 27,000 people seeking international protection in the last 2 years, I think it is, or something in and around that figure. It could be a little bit more than that. And that's not including those who we don't know about, because not everybody presents themselves at the IPAS building. So there's probably God knows how many who are undocumented. Where are they all living? Where do we get all those houses from all of a sudden? We didn't have them 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But we suddenly have them now. Yeah, sorry, Martin.
At this point, I'm saying the government don't even know the amount of people that are coming in. And like I have, as I said, I'm involved in a lot of groups and I have a large circle of people who I would question regularly. And they ask me questions and they say, oh, Leo Radker has said, oh, we're at full capacity. We're not taking anyone in. I got an eyewitness account of a bus coming in the dead of the night into Portland Road the other night and unloading men with suitcases. Now, there's a situation now coming up at Crown Paints now on the Malahide Road again.
That's where in Coolock,
that they're moving beds and they built high walls up and all the rest of it. Why is this all being done in secret? Like, this government are getting away with bloody murder.
You know why it's done in secret? Because they know what happens when they don't do it in secret. You know, they end up with protesters outside.
Yeah, but there has been no transparency. I mean, this all started during COVID. You weren't allowed to see your mother, your father, your grandmother 1 minute, and the next minute then they were flooding through the gates, not only with no COVID vaccines, but no papers. And we have an influx now of measles, HIV, diphtheria, malaria and scabies. Diseases that we thought were eradicated are back in this country at the behest of our governments.
Yeah, sorry, Jackie.
Yeah, and everything that lady says is 100% correct as well. But just let's kind of look at at the whole on the street in Dublin, you know, where those tents are. If all these good doers and all that, and I understand there's people that are thinking, look, we must do something about this, they would have those cubicles that you see at festivals. You'd have toilets there. You'd have someone with a catering thing there, or, you know, that it, simple things could have been done there. But I honestly think it's optics. It's trying to create a certain, what would you say, a kind of a narrative here that look at these poor people and all that. They could be looked after if it was, if they really wanted to. They could have toilet facilities. They could have whatever catering facilities there to look after those, but they don't have them and that. So it's I think it's just, it's all a made up story. And where every time you look at the videos of those tents, you never really see anyone. Where are they all? Like, where are?
I know. I do know that Ben Scallon from Grip Media went down to do a report on it the other day.
Yes.
And I was talking to Ben afterwards because I've heard these stories from people saying, you know, it's a bit of a setup. There's nobody really in these tents. But yes, he did say to me while he was there, there were people coming and going out of the tents.
Yeah, in taxis. So where were they going in?
Yeah, I don't know. He mentioned there was taxis going up and down. I don't know what the story. He didn't say think they were seen to be doing anything. There seemed to be a lot of taxis going up and down for some strange reason. Now, I don't know. I'm not too familiar with that side of the city. I know where Mount Street obviously is. But I don't know, do taxis use that as a shortcut or something like that, that particular lane?
But they were stopping. They were stopping or that. So
How can people living in tents afford to be getting taxis?
Exactly. But again, step back. We had construction. We had the restaurants association. We had the hotels all looking for people. They, you know, at the time going back, I remember some saying, oh, we need another 50,000 because we cannot keep our businesses going, you know, that we have to get people in the door. And now we have, how many have we now?
What?
100,000 people now, immigrants, and between that.
It's hard to know the actual number, to be honest with you, but it's over 130 at this stage. Yeah, but go on.
Oh,
that's in the last 2 years, by the way. Yeah.
Yes, I'm talking to businesses and that, and they cannot get staff. They're unable to do certain hours.
That's another thing, by the way. We could talk about that another day, is why the vast majority of Ukrainians that have come to Ireland are not working. At this stage, they're not working. We should be encouraging people to work. Now, maybe the reduction in the payment the government is going to give them because there might have been some sort of financial trap will encourage them to work. But a very small percentage are actually working. They should actually be working. Hang on, Jackie, stay there for a second, because you have to, like everybody else, you have to, you know, earn your money. Eddie, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, Niall? Good to be on the show.
Thanks.
Like everything else, there's always going to be a certain amount of a population, even in the peaceful countries, that want to get the hell out of Dodge. Like, a lot of the Ukrainians over here are probably never even seen a Russian in their life. Like, you know, I've been passed on the M50 by Ukrainian sports cars. No joke. Like, you know, a lot of them are coming over here because they were going to go anyway. They just didn't have to wait until they joined the EU. So they've used the war as a prerequisite to immigrate.
There's no doubt you're 100% right. There are many people who have used the war to get out of Ukraine, and that's fair enough. But there are many who have genuinely come from a city or a town where, you know, the buildings have been blown up.
Well, I know one example. The Lord Lucan, I'm on my way up there now in about half an hour. There was a girl up there working up there as a catering assistant for 8 years, a Ukrainian girl. And her mother rang her from the Crown Plaza, and she jacked up her job, and that's where she's living now. That's where she's gone. Like, she went over there. She enrolled as a refugee, basically, after being living here for 8 years.
Yeah. You know, I've heard stories similar to that,
Yeah, we need a referendum on immigration, and we need the Dublin Agreement that the Irish actually negotiated for. We need it enforced. Helen McEntee is asleep at the wheel. They all need to go. Roger O'Gorman. They banged the dinner bell And, you know, this is the result of it. People are coming from... Now, fair play, look, that Pakistani fella came from Birmingham. If I lived in Birmingham, I'd probably look for international asylum myself.
Right. Yeah, I mean, haven't been.
But destroyed over there.
But in saying that, look, if you live in Birmingham, you're not happy living in Birmingham. Although I think the people of Birmingham are very disappointed to hear you say that, Eddie. You, look, you can move to Manchester or you can move somewhere else. You know, there's nothing stopping you moving if you want to move. You know, but you don't qualify for it to be an asylum seeker.
I'm going to go. The scope of people you have on the show today are actually excellent. Like, you know what I mean? They've hit the nail on the head. It's all... You have to look at what's happening in Canada and America as well. Immigrants coming from China and all. They're all coming up. This is a global issue. It's not just...
But are we dealing... You are right. It is a global issue. And of course, America have the issue. Joe Biden, by the way, flew in 235,000 people on planes illegally into the country. Joe Biden admitted this himself, right? That he flew people secretly on planes to stop them going to the border of Mexico. So he flew them in. Of course, Donald Trump refers to them all as head cases and criminals that were bringing into the country. So if we look across the world, every country is dealing with the same problem. We're all dealing with it at the same time. Different countries are dealing with it differently. So it depends if they're right of centre or left of centre. Ireland, of course, is like a bunch of lefties. We're just kind of all are welcome, you know?
There's no immigration into Pakistan or North Korea or China or any of those countries. Nobody goes there to live. They only just come to the West and then they dismantle it when they get here, you know? They criticise their culture, their way of life. I've seen numerous instances of, you know, Irish people in you know, asterisks or whatever, you know, called the air Irish, right? But, you know, they're wearing a burqa and they're criticising, like, the openness of society and everything else like that. I mean, what do they want?
No, and this is the point that was made earlier on by Linda. If you want to move to Ireland, you must assimilate into Irish culture. You don't bring your culture with you, unfortunately. I'm not saying you forget your culture. It's really important you all hang on to your own culture, but you have to assimilate to Irish culture.
Yeah. One of my best friends growing up, his dad was from India. Like, you know what I mean? They were just Irish. They were just great pals.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You've got to be Irish if you want to come here. Thank you for that, Eddie. Appreciate it. Let me go to Jared. Jared, hi, how are you?
Hi, Noel. Thanks for having me on.
Good. Thanks. Back to the guys in the tents, by the way. That's how we started off talking about today. The guys in the tents were kind of used as these political pawns over the weekend. Do you feel sorry for them?
Honestly, I don't. Are the conditions here much worse than what they're fleeing from, apparently?
Allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly,
yeah.
I do have a point. Like, we spent 23 million on a pointless referendum last week. That's 23,000 one-way tickets for anyone who isn't happy in the tent. So, like, I'm sorry to put it like that, but
well, now it's one way of putting it, really, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah. Like, we don't
first class tickets, by the way, at that price. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, that's £1,000 a ticket. Like, we don't have the infrastructure or the facilities to house all these people or to invite them into the country, and that's due to government incompetence. I'm all for bringing people into the country, doctors, engineers, someone that will contribute to society, like Australia have. But Noel, if it keeps going the way it's going, we're going to need an immigration task force heavily funded, because they're going to have to get rid of these people that are coming in causing issues. Now, as I said, I'm happy for people to come and work and, you know, pay their way, and we will help as much as we can, but it'll get to a certain point where people are going to have to fund their own way, and, you know.
So what should we do there? But are we already at a point here where the horse has bolted? I mean, you've heard Donald Trump, for example, recently talk about what's happening in America, which is very similar to what's happening here, you know, per head of population when you look at it. Actually, per head of population, we've taken in more per head of population. But when you see America and the amount of people being brought in under Joe Biden's administration, and Donald Trump said as soon as he gets elected, he's going to have the biggest mass deportation the country has ever seen. Is that the right thing to do?
I personally think it is the right thing to do. What I'd like to know is who, like, what organization is making all these countries take in all these immigrants?
It's not an organization. It's this kind of virtue signaling, isn't it? This kind of wokeness around the world that's causing it. It's these progressive liberal arseholes that are meant to be politicians that are doing it. The ones with the videos down on Mount Street.
I find it hard to believe that it's just wokeness, because if you look at it, it seems to be organised all over the world. It seems to be, in my opinion, like the EU is bringing them in. They're not bringing them in to help the people. They're bringing them in to benefit themselves. There is a theory
about replacing population, and I don't want to go down that route of conspiracy theories, right? But when you look at Ireland, for example, our population replacement level is, I'm going to get this wrong probably, and somebody's going to check this in my ear for me in a second, I think it's 2.3, and we're at 1.7. In other words, to continue to replace the population, we must have 2.3 children. I think it is. Everybody needs to have that. But we're actually at 1.7. So if we continue down the route that we're going without allowing a lot of people into the country, eventually the population will become very old and we won't have enough to pay their pensions. Isn't that the kind of theory behind it, that we have to keep rejuvenating the population with young blood?
Yeah, I agree with that. Why can't they advise people that people need to make more kids, maybe, Niall, rather than, you know, we're basically what we're doing is we're inviting so many people in, and it's mostly migrant men. Now, I've no issue, as I said, with migrants coming in, but to be honest, there's too many coming in at the one time, uneducated, flooding the system. It's like a life raft, and if you put too many people on it, everyone's going to drown, Niall. So, like, you need to have...
I mean, I don't disagree with the government plan, the thing last week, where they're inviting people in who are skilled workers, you know, to come to obviously have an easier visa system for people who are skilled workers to come here and work in the hospitals.
Fast track them.
Yeah, absolutely. I have no problem with that. By the way, just to clarify those figures, is 2.1 is what we need. We only have 1.7. So we're 0.4 down from what we should be to replace the population.
Okay. And in the meantime, then, we're kind of destroying certain things like tourism and, you know, hotels are flooded with immigrants.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, are we going to take the economy... Are we going to leave the economy go to waste, go to shite while we're bringing in all these immigrants and filling the hotels? You know, it's going to have to be a healthy balance, and it's going to have to be heavily debated. And I don't think this government is competent enough to do that. I think they're just, as you said, the horse door, I don't know that analogy, but basically the floodgates have opened. And this government isn't going to do anything to save it. So
okay, well, do me a favour, Jared. Just stay there. And Aisling will be with you in a second. Just got to go to Anna first, if I can. Anna, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Anna, do you feel sorry for these men in tents who are being used in this kind of political game at the moment?
Listen, I do feel sorry for them. I feel sorry really for all parts of this. I feel sorry at this point for the Irish people as well, for the Irish homeless, but I also do feel sorry for the people in tents. I came to Ireland 20 years ago-ish, and... I met a man and I married a man, and I'm with this man for the past 20 years who came here as a refugee. And I just want to say, you know, these people, they do come from, many of them, maybe some of them really dump their passports and they don't want their age to be known and et cetera. But
that's illegal. But Anna, we have to remember, you know, to enter a country with no documentation or identification is illegal.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. I do understand that. Absolutely, yes, yes. But, you know, what I wanted to say, and this is really just a question towards the current government, the people who are here already and are here legally, those refugees who are here already legally, the government has to be aware that they come from conflict-torn countries. And once they establish themselves, it's very possible that they will apply for family reunifications. And where is the plan, you know, in that? I mean, it seems to be so chaotic. The government doesn't seem to be knowing what they are doing, you know, what's around the corner. And I find it very, I find it really disheartening. And I feel sorry for all the people who are coming in, because they are coming obviously believing that the life in here is going to be better.
I understand. And you know, and you get here and all of a sudden there's no accommodation for you or nowhere for you to stay. But I mean, you know, and some politicians have compared that to the Irish going abroad. Didn't the Irish do this for years and years and years? But the Irish didn't do this. The Irish people didn't go to America and with their hand out, expecting the government to give them somewhere to live, expecting the government to give them social welfare payments, because it didn't happen. Because they had to go and just work.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. Yes, I do agree with you. I think that we seem to be in a very unique situation. You know, having said that, there are many people who, I don't want to speak about my personal situation now because I don't want
to
give out too much. But I do feel sorry for those people. But they do come here, you know, on the premise of some promise. They do come here because they believe. They are led to believe something. And now I really would love to know who leads them to believe and who brings them, you know, who lures them in Ireland.
Well. You know, up to this point, we were accommodating everybody. We can't anymore because we've nowhere for them people to accommodate people. So I'm assuming friends, you know, were texting them saying, listen, I came to Ireland. I'm staying in a 4-star hotel. You should come over here. And they're giving me money every week. So I'm assuming they're sending texts to their mates. Majority of them, by the way, that when it comes to people seeking international protection, are actually coming from the UK. They're not coming from anywhere else. They come from France, from the UK.
I agree with you. I agree. You know, that's probably how it works, and probably social media as well. They connect, yeah. You know, the different groups. But the question is really, who can stop this, and who can really say, well, you know,
it's easy to stop it, Anna. I mean, don't get me wrong. And I've always said this, you know, people say, oh, Niall, you're some sort of right-wing mad person. I'm not. I've always said that if somebody's coming from a country where their life is in danger, where they're coming from a war, we should support people. It's the humane right. It's the right thing to do, okay? And we should help people as much as we possibly can. The same way as we have a visa waiver system for people who want to come into Ireland, who want to work, you know, who have a skill to offer our country. We should all appreciate diversity in society. It's wonderful, right? But we can't just have a situation where people are wandering into this country with no identification, no documents, no passports. The simple answer to that, Anna, is just put them back on a plane and send them back to where they came from. You can't.
Absolutely. But you would have a lot of people who came here as immigrants, who came here as refugees, having the same opinion as you do. You know, this isn't something that it's only the Irish people against all the immigrants. To me, I do not feel it personally that way. You know, I actually feel frightened about what's happening. I feel frightened about how the mood in the society is turning against almost everybody who has a different color of skin, because it does apply to my family, you know.
Yeah.
And I do feel that this is really frightening development, what is happening currently. I do think that the government is being reckless. You know, and I do not feel that hate speech laws are going to do much. It's actually going to only make the situation worse.
No, I don't agree with hate speech laws, but you are right in relation to skin colour, for example. And I mentioned this to somebody earlier on who mentioned, you know, that when they lived in Brixton or whatever it was, and he talked about black people versus white people, etc. I said, we've lost the argument. As soon as you mention skin colour, you lose the argument. It shouldn't matter what colour somebody's skin. I don't care. And the same way as, by the way, I personally believe it's racist that we're dealing with Ukrainian refugees different to dealing with Nigerian refugees.
Absolutely. I can tell you, you know, so I can tell you, and that's an experience from the family. We have somebody, you know, who there really is war in the country that part of my family comes from. If we want to accommodate our family member in our home, we are here paying taxes for over 20 years. We won't get a penny of...
Yeah, you won't get the 800 a month that the Ukrainian people are getting, which is to accommodate somebody.
We will never get, even if we take our own family person, you know. So, I mean, it's really, this is very unfair. This is actually
You are right. We're dealing with them differently. And I do believe that's wrong. I mean, they are refugees. They are, exactly, there's no difference. They are refugees. The only difference is they happen to be from a different part of the world and have a different skin colour.
That's right.
Which is wrong on every level. And actually, stay there with me for a second, Anna, because I want to go to, is it Aisling? Aisling, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how's it going?
Aisling, now, I think, Aisling, you were up at Cruxling yesterday when they brought the immigrants by bus. Were you there?
No, I'll tell you the story, Niall. Yeah. The community up there, they set up a Facebook group and all that, you know?
Yeah.
So they got wind on Friday night that they were coming from Mount Street. So this is for all your audience to hear. It's on camera. It's up on YouTube. Two buses arrived with them all through the gates.
Yeah.
So the buses were full. The government said 150 went in. There's more videos of the NGO giving the crap to the Irish because, you know, there's more videos up on YouTube.
I've seen
where
they
came from and all this. Yeah. Yeah. Now,
I did see a video, by the way, with some man being extremely rude to a woman.
Now, I know the people that are up there.
Yeah.
So it's all videos. So the ones that came back over the fence and were walking down the road, they were being counted. They were being counted. And there wasn't enough of them walking down the road. So the thing is, a friend of mine, I went to a party yesterday. We had our own Paddy's Day party. He told me he was on the phone to another fella. And first of all, for the audience, there was 150 put in. There was some taken out the back gate in cars. Yeah, it has a lot of acreage in there.
Yeah.
The ones that were walking down the road were followed to see where they were gone and how far they were down the road now. There was only two at the bus stop with their bus passes at Halle, getting a 65B, yeah? So one of the lads was like, there's something up here. There's always something up here. Now, Virgin Media was up there earlier on interviewing the NGOs and all. And so a lad went back to his house and said, now there's something up. I'm going back up here. And he has it up on YouTube if anybody would like to see, because all these other media stations are being propped up by the government with grants to push this migrant nonsense. They're economic migrants. But they were caught by the BOLLOX, they were, and it's all up on YouTube. There was a Garda car there, and he had his head in the Garda car, Virgin Media news, and they were all pulled up on the safe bend. There was three Virgin Media reporters piling in all the migrants to their cars. Nobody walked back down to Mount Street. The two fellas that got the bus, fair play. So they were caught piling them all.
So you're saying the reporters from Virgin Media, I did see one of the videos actually. Yeah.
Yes, the reporters from...
We're giving cars. Them lifts back into town again.
Yeah, they gave him the lifts back into town and they wouldn't answer any questions on camera. All of a sudden, they were mute as FCK.
So, I appreciate that asking, and I appreciate you giving us that information in relation to, and a lot of those people are back in Mount Street again today, so we're back to Tent City again. But you've been listening to Anna as well. And, you know, and do you feel any sympathy for these lads?
No, not whatsoever. Niall, I live 500 metres from the Saggart Big DP Centre, yeah, for all of them. It was COVID beforehand. Now, I'll tell all for your listeners, as far as the Ukrainians as well, this is my opinion. When the Ukrainians first went in, of course, it's a village where I live, it's one street. You walk the dog in the back of the centre, whatever. I've interviewed everybody for years in there, off camera, yeah? Off camera, all the time. I'll be on Twitter every day saying, oh, listen to this story today or that story today. Now, the first Ukrainians that came in were for Mariupol. That city was demolished. It's the only city in Ukraine that was demolished. Now, Michal Martin, I'll tell you now, went over there to Zelensky and told him to get as much Ukrainians in Ireland because of the fact they're white. And if he put so many whites in Ireland, the Irish wouldn't notice because they're so stupid that we're bringing in all the different breeds of people.
So do you think people are being treated differently? And this is the point I wanted to make to Anna, and I don't want to go focus too much on skin colour because I think it's wrong. But do you think the point I made to Anna was, do you think people are treated differently because they're from different parts of the world? Yeah.
No, they're not, because the United Nations had a pact that was already organised.
No. The point I make, do you think it's fair that Ukrainians come to Ireland and get maybe an €800 allowance to live in somebody's house? They get 220 quid. At the moment, they're still getting that. They were getting more than, say, somebody who, say, comes from Nigeria tomorrow. Do you think that's wrong? The people are being treated differently?
No, because the United Nations have a list of all the countries that are at war or civil war. None of those people that are coming in are from war. It's an official thing.
Well, most aren't. Most aren't.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how many from each of these countries Ireland was asked to take, and how many they did take. Now it's the
Do you accept Aisling? I'm just a bit stuck for time. But Aisling, do you accept that we should accept on humane grounds, or humanitarian grounds, people from different parts of the world who would be fleeing war or persecution? Do you accept that should be that we should do that?
Oh yeah, because we took them from Syria years ago. You know yes. what I mean? We took them from Syria. If it's a legit war. Now the thing with the Ukrainians is Ukraine is about 100 times the size of Ireland. So that's my idea on that. Mm. They could have lived in anywhere else. But the Mariupol's one, that was like an emergency, and they were trying to get everybody.
I remember that. Yeah,
in Mariupol. Yeah. I've had those people crying on the Lewis and everything. Thanking me, whole families thanking me that they got out, and Ireland is beautiful and I hope we can stay. We're not going back home because the place, there's nothing to go back to unless Zelensky gives them somewhere else to live.
Okay.
And it's huge. So only for 4 months, Niall, and after that it was fake UGs coming in. I'm here 2 years interviewing them all. Now, just to get back to...
Just very quickly, because I've got two more callers I have to finish up, but go ahead.
Now, yeah, just to get back up to that Cruxling. Now, all that place in Cruxling, And there's millions of buildings. The reason why they just put them in tents, it was only for one night, because it was done so quick. The NGOs wanted them out for Paddy's Day and forced the government to give the apartments. The government hadn't got the apartments, so they had to put them up there for one night until the beds and the catering was organised overnight for them for the next day.
So the ones that stayed in Crooksling, have they been moved now, or have they been moved into apartments now?
No.
I thought you said it was only for one night.
Yeah, well, you see, they were counted, the ones that walked down the road, you were counted. And that doesn't make 150.
No, I'm saying to you, you said to me they were only going to move them to Crooksling for one night and have them stay in the tents.
Oh, no. Yeah. They were moving them to Crooksling. They just hadn't got the beds organised because it was done so quick. Because the NGOs were hammering the government to give them apartments. It was just that the beds...
Have they got the beds now?
I haven't made my phone calls to see who's up there at the moment.
I'm not trying to cut you short. I hate to think anyway, I'm going to cut anybody short. It's just that I have a limited amount of time to talk to a limited amount of people. So, Aisling, I thank you very much indeed, and thanks for clarifying that about people getting lifts and all sorts of things. Let me go to Peter Dooley. Anna, stay with me there for a second. Peter Dooley, hi, how are you?
Yeah. No, how's it going?
Good, Peter. What do you want to say? I mean, Peter, getting back to, if we can, to the people in the tents, do you feel sorry for them?
Well, I don't know. I've been down there numerous times in the last few months and seen the chaos that's been created by the policies of the Irish government and the so-called opposition who've gone along with this chaotic policy since the war in Ukraine. I've spoken to you about many times before. And you've seen the health implications as well that's going down there. Like I'm really concerned, for instance, currently for the people who are living in that community, because recently there was an outbreak of scabies and all the other stuff going on.
Yeah,
and
TB so many as people well, live in that area. TB too, yeah.
It's TB as well, but it's horrific because across the way there's a seniors accommodation facility over there as well. Probably about 100, 150 people living in it. There's a lot of people living in that area as well. They live in those homes and apartments around the area.
I know somebody lives in an apartment there. I know a friend of mine lives in an apartment.
Absolutely, and it's huge implications. And it was just a failed PR stunt by the government. And Roderick O'Gorman, again, who should be held accountable for this, but they were off swanning off in their junkets all around the world while Ireland's falling apart at the seams. Our country's falling apart now.
But there's no accountability. Anna herself, she is in Ireland 20 years. She said she doesn't even feel safe sometimes because of the way things are happening at the moment. Because, you know, people are coming in and there's no accountability. People are coming in with no documentation and no passports, no nothing. It's kind of like this kind of free-for-all. And, you know, when I see these politicians, Peter, and I mentioned it already, Aaron O'Riordan and Breed Smith and Ivana Bacic going down there making their videos during the week, using it as some sort of political football, and then pretending they've done something about it. You know, they didn't care about it up to that point. So I don't know why they suddenly care all of a sudden.
Well,
now.
It's virtue signaling.
Of course it is.
That's what's going on. I've highlighted for the last long number of years about the homeless people who are living on the canal, down at Grand Canal Street. I've spoken to you many times, and you covered it now, and fair play to you, around the issues of all the tent and campings around the Grand Canal for many years that has never been addressed. I've never seen anybody from Virgin Media pick up somebody to bring them up to accommodation for anybody who was homeless on the streets for years.
I said it on Twitter the other day to Aon O'Riordan. I tweeted Aon O'Riordan the other day. I got a fair reaction. I said, where were you 4 years ago or 5 years ago when people were living along the canals in Dublin? I said, I didn't see you making a video then. You know, I mean, but that's what it is.
But it suits the narrative, Niall. Like, I think as well, if you look at the bigger picture as well, there's a lot of stuff that hasn't been said in this argument as well. It's creating huge division as well. The big issue about cheap labour, this is a huge issue that's coming in with this migration chaos. And there's a huge issue with the welfare system that's in place and the racist system in terms of the way the Ukrainians are being treated and the war in Ukraine and why the Irish government aren't pushing for peace instead of keeping the door open when there's no hope of Zelensky winning that blinking war in Ukraine.
No, so we've just given them another we've just given them another 200 million of our money. I don't know what that's for, but I object personally, by the way, to any of my money, my tax money, being given to buy a gun for anybody to shoot anybody, if that's indeed what the money is for.
I'm exactly the same in terms of it's our public money. It should be used for the public good in our country, essentially, not be washed off to some military industrial complex to make money over arms manufacturer that's going to kill people or all the rest of them here in Ireland. There's a lot of people here in Ireland.
You're not allowed to call for peace. You're not allowed to do that. For some reason, it's quite a bizarre notion in this world that if you call for peace talks, immediately you're on the wrong side of the argument. That's what they say, isn't it?
Well, that's that's the whole crazy thing about it. They're pushing this to push their hegemony, and the US as well are pushing this hegemony by pushing it. Even when the Pope said it last week about the provocation by NATO, and he was called a Putin apologist for saying it.
He's actually right. I don't agree with the Pope too often, but he was right.
Yeah, he was quite right, and I've been speaking about that. It has been the provocation of NATO, and people have to wake up to this, because really, as you've said, and I've said many times, most of our legislation comes from the European Union. Over 70% of our legislation comes from the European Union. There's next to no power we have in Ireland. We need to take our power back in our communities and across Ireland.
By the way, can I put
people first.
Absolutely, and can I just say that that's why it's so important this year, in particular in June, when you're voting for an MEP, because they are the people who represent you in Europe, and we do have a fair few Irish MEPs that go to Europe, it's very important that you vote for somebody that will put Ireland first. The MEPs at the moment, with the exception of one or two, are a bunch of lefties.
I disagree with the word lefties on them, because they're not left. They're really, what they are is, they're doing the work of the political establishment. That's what they are. They're all part of the same. Yeah. They look after the super rich and wealthy. So they're really doing the same work for them. They're not standing up, and the Irish working class are the ones feeling the effects from what's going on up and down the country. Recently in Rathmines, where I am, and I'd be standing actually as independent in the local area, in that area as well.
Don't come on, by the way. Don't forget to come on the show and make sure you give yourself a plug when you're doing it.
Thanks a lot, Niall. No, but I am, because at the end of the day, I stand up for ordinary working class people. And they put 165 men into a facility in Rathmines without any community consultation. And there's flats just up the road where it's falling down around people's ears. And they're looking at what's happening. They're saying, well, people are coming in, they're getting X, Y, and Z, and we're getting nothing.
Anna, you wanted to say something quickly there. Go ahead, Anna.
I just really wanted to say quickly, what I'm really worried about is that the current climate and the current situation is really positioning ordinary people against ordinary people, because those migrants are absolutely ordinary people too. And this is what I'm really most worried about, because I'm really worried that what could happen is that there will be absolutely no distinguishing between who is the brown Irish citizen and who is the brown Irish, refugee, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it's just...
And you are right. And it always reminds me. I remember talking to a friend of mine going back, this was about 10 years ago. And we were walking down the street. I don't particularly like this guy. He's not a friend of mine anymore anyway. But he turned around to me and he says, how can refugees afford BMWs? I said, what? And I looked at him. And I said, what do you mean? And he says, look at your man over there. He says, look at that. Brand new BMW. Yeah. And I says, how do you know he's a refugee? I says, you know.
Yeah.
So just because the man was black, he assumed he was a refugee. So you are right, Anna. And with this kind of conversation and these conversations, by the way, through no fault of our own, the government have forced us into these conversations and these debates. Yeah. It does create a division. Sorry, Peter, I get what Anna's saying.
Absolutely. I agree fundamentally with that. I obviously understand that fully. And it's right. We're ordinary people. Ordinary working class people need to stand side by side, but they're deliberately creating chaos, and they're sowing division that's going to actually fuel a rise of extremism, real extremism that's actually going to fuel more social division and more hatred, which is totally unnecessary. And so they can clamp in, they can bring in more laws to clamp down. That's why you have to be careful about the other laws they're bringing in terms of hate speech and all the other stuff. They're the ones that provide the solutions. This is lunacy, isn't it?
I just want to say one little thing, and then I'm just going to kind of leave. Okay. But, people really need to remember that many migrants and many people who came to Ireland, actually, for instance, myself, I came as a student, came here and stayed here because they really did like and did have love for Ireland and do have love for Ireland, that they don't hate or want to destroy, or they don't want to assimilate into this culture. And I it is my personal experience that most people that I know are completely blended into the Irish, if you wish, society. I'm just really worried about the rhetorics, but I'm equally worried about the reckless policies. So that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that, Anna. Let me, Peter, save me a second. I need to go to Sarah and Mary. My God, we've gone way over time. Sarah, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Niall? I was watching on the telly last night.
You were watching me on GB News. I'm a handsome looking chap, am I?
Yeah, very handsome. Yeah. Better looking than the guy that was interviewing you. Anyway, back to the 10. I've no empathy at all whatsoever for them. They're well connected with the world, what's going on around them, and they're quite aware that there's no accommodation in their country. Mm-hmm. I think it's appalling. It's horrible, the quality of life that they're living. fair play to that doctor for going out and volunteering and examining them all and bringing it to light. But as you say, the government is at the dig in this hole. I've more empathy for the immigrants that are already in the country, with the majority of them that have contributed. And I've been working with a few of them, and they're in Ireland a long time, and they fear for their own children because of all of this. And that's where my heart, and I'm no way, I hate that word saying it, but I'm no way, I work with diversity, where I work, and I learn from them, they learn from me, and we all get on. And it's just terrible the way some of their children is being treated at the moment.
Yeah, no, I understand. And that was the point Anna was making, and that's what we have to be careful of. But here's the thing, and I understand completely what you're saying and what Anna was saying earlier on, and I completely understand that these conversations shouldn't be happening. We shouldn't be having these conversations, right? But we have been forced into a situation that we have to have these conversations. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We've been forced into a situation of having to have these conversations. And the problem with these conversations is most people can have conversations and debates and they can talk logically about things and not go bonkers. But there are people, unfortunately, in society who hold extreme views.
Yeah, but Niall, there a couple of months ago, right, my car was at the station down and the pickup lorry, the guy that was in it was from Ukraine. And he was telling me that he woke up to a missile 3 doors down from him.
Yeah.
And himself and his wife and his 2 children got up and went over to Poland, and then from Poland over to England, and then from England into Ireland, because there was more of an option here for them. And he's working, he's renting a home, and he has his 2 children and his wife here. Mm-hmm. He says he'll never go back there. What to say about that? And then you have people, international protection, coming in, and I think they're the ones that's making most of the problems. Most of them are all men. They're all ganging up on each other, and then they're all coming from different cultures. They're like savages.
Some of them are behaving like savages.
Some of them have no dignity, Niall. I swear to God, no, come on. Get real about it. Airtown, Dublin City is not the same. It really isn't. Between years and years ago, the crack that you'd have going up and down town, it'd be a beautiful place for any tourist to come into. Now, ourselves can't even, I wouldn't even go into the parade. I used to love going into the parade. I used to love going into town doing a bit of shopping. It's just, it's so scary, and I don't care what anyone says. I've seen a video there, and as soon as you walk onto Henry Street, you think you were in a different country.
By the way, can I raise that quickly with you, Peter, before I come to Mary? Sarah raises a good point. I saw the video she's talking about, by the way, the one of Henry Street. It was actually shown on one of the UK news channels yesterday. That Henry Street, Moor Street, Parnell Street have become completely unrecognisable. And this is a problem that we have in this country in the way we assimilate and integrate people. When you pile lots of people from different cultures, which are obviously not indigenous Irish, all into one particular place, it then becomes ghettoised.
Yeah. The northern east inner city, Noel, has been destroyed. And that should be an iconic part of our Irish history. Look at the GPO, look at Moore Street, look at O'Connell Street in terms of the shops that was there for many years and stuff. It's absolutely, Talbot Street was even a great street to go on as well. But that's the highest percentage of emergency accommodation that's been put in there. In terms of people who are being evicted from the private rental sector.
But families, Sarah's right. Children. If you walk down one of these streets, you wouldn't actually know you're in Ireland.
Yeah, but on top of that, that's what the point I was coming to, is that they put a huge amount of accommodation centres in there as well on top of it, without the issues. And there's all issues that predate that in terms of a lot of poverty in the northeast inner city. You've seen that in around areas of Sean McDermott Street and many more regions, areas that have. A lot of poverty, a lot of drug use for many years, a lot of problems that weren't addressed, that just deepened all these other issues. And it's a melting pot now that's creating chaos. And there's still 10,
Ireland is a big country. I can't see why they can't sort of delegate them all out and put the money into those communities.
But they don't. The thing is,
amount of money, integrate them back into society so they can contribute. And then
but if you look at it, you
way home.
Take a walk down Sheriff Street, and you look at Sheriff Street, and what they did was they built the IFSC there, and they put a wall between the working class community and the new private apartments. That's what they want to do. They want to make segregated living for people.
But can I ask you a question, Peter? Last week at the Strand Hotel, you know, immigrants that were staying in the Strand Hotel, the temporary accommodation, they destroyed the place.
They wrecked it,
right? Now, when we've seen in the past videos of, say, members of the travelling community, you know, who have been involved in a fight, or even the settled community for that matter, wrecking a place like that, it'll be all over the news. There's no mention of it.
Well, nobody should be going out. Right? Like, well, it's out, but there has to be. You need a proper immigration system there. They were criminality as well.
Yeah, the video, they're like animals.
With passports, Niall. But even things with the, like, yeah, exactly. But that's it. But you put a group of men of all different nationalities together, all day and nothing to do, and all day to do it. Like, what's going
to
happen?
So what are we to do?
It's a melting pot looking for problems. That's what they're looking for. There's no proper integration and no proper services. And these are areas that don't have services anyway. Areas are left behind that as well. And then you see so much wealth around the city as well. There's an awful lot of wealth as well within Dublin City and Ireland as well now. And a lot of people still making a lot of money from the misery of other people in terms of the accommodation centre providers.
I think they're all living up in Dunleary. Yeah.
Well, a lot, but all around the country. The guy, in particular, the guy who has the one in Rathmines, for instance, owned about 12 or 13 hotels around the country, Wineport Lodge and other places, all these fancy places.
Millions.
And they're making
millions.
5 or 6 million euro a year out of our public money to provide this. It's the biggest scam of all. It's a huge industry, and a lot of people are making money out of it. And there's a lot of people here in Ireland making a lot of money out of it as well, apart from internationally. And it's absolutely, this is what the government and the political establishment represent, and they look after them every single time, Niall. And it's creating more division amongst ordinary people all around the city, and it's ruining Dublin City, and it's ruining our country, unless people are going to stand up. But you know what? The good thing is, the referendum last week was a great starting point. I think people have to push on, because they're not being listened to. They're not being listened to on immigration. They're not being listened to loads of issues that are facing ordinary people day to day. And people have to, you know, come together and organise to put the.
You're right.
To
you're right. They aren't listening. They've stopped listening about 10 years ago. They stopped listening to the people. We need people in power, people in politics who are good listeners as well as good doers. Stay there for a second, Peter. Let me go to Mary. Mary, hi. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good, Mary. What would you like to say?
So, just like that lady was saying there about. Dispersing these people around the country, integrating them into communities. I'm from Ballyhadrine, which I'm sure if anyone has any idea, is beyond flooded. It's, and we can say about ghettos or them being forced into those situations. We have housing estates in Ballyhadrine that these people have been given houses. I don't know how they're getting them, but they have houses. They won't remove the rubbish. There is piles up past the windows in their own gardens where they just throw the.
Hello? Are you there, Mary? Hello, Mary? Oh, wait, I think we lost Mary there. Can we get Mary back? Are you there? Sorry, Peter, are you still there?
I am, I'm still here now.
Yeah, sorry, I lost Mary there. Maybe we can get Mary back just to finish, because, and John, the two of them there just vanished off my screen for some reason. Mary was saying, I think the point she was making is they've moved into Ballyhadrine, as you mentioned there, and a lot of people culturally are different. And if you get, there's also an argument there when you give something away for nothing, sometimes people treat it badly. You know what I mean?
Well, you need proper integration, but where would be the incentive? If you're getting, essentially, you're not paying for accommodation and you're getting, you know, a few hundred quid a week, where's the incentive to do something? And why do you think problems are being created? Why do you think, I get to a stage, you know, sometimes where you're nearly throwing your hands up at what's going on in Ireland. I just think it's gone so far down this road of nonsense, where even the Irish political establishment, there's no proper alternative in Ireland that actually puts the interests of people first. And the problem is that it could rise and go off in a different direction, which actually won't offer anything to people either, rather than putting the interests of ordinary people first. We need to stand together. Wherever people are from.
Well, let me get back to Ballyhadrine, if I can, to Mary, who got cut off there a few minutes ago, which she was telling me. So, Mary, a lot of people in your area who had come from all over the world, who've been given houses, and they're in social housing, obviously, and they're letting the rubbish pile up against the windows, you're saying. Go ahead.
It's unbelievable. Ballyhadrine has welcomed hundreds of people. It started off as welcoming them, then we put up with them. It's beyond. The town is unrecognisable. There's no businesses.
What's the population of Ballyhadrine, by the way, normally?
Oh.
Before the kind of people had come in, what was the population? Can you remember?
I'm not very good at the numbers and the facts, but I know I think we've taken in over 700, and we've been now there's a proposal now for 47 modular homes to be put on a site in Balahedrine for Ukrainians. We have since 2017, since the first hotel was given over to Syrians. Since then, we have not got an extra doctor. We have no dentist. We have no library. We have no swimming pool. We don't have any facilities.
There's 2,387 people, by the way. 2,387
and
people.
I think there's 86 including 700. Yeah. So the school has doubled in numbers. The primary school.
Yeah.
They have no extra teachers. No extra SNAs. We have 26 different nationalities in that school. And even the class that started, I think there's two Irish children in that school.
There's two Irish children in the class.
I can't be sure if that's for the school or the play school. Okay. We have no childcare facilities. There's nothing in the town for people. There's no housing. You can check and see when the last house went on draft to rent, because the houses aren't going on to the rental market. They're being handed over to these organisations that are putting in refugees or whatever they want to call themselves. But the 47 houses intended for Ukrainians, Ukrainians aren't the issue in Balahedrine. The issue in Balahedrine is all the undocumented people getting off buses in the middle of the night, and that has been going on for a long time before we ever took in refugees.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that are living in one particular estate that the council has to go in and take out skip loads, which they did before Christmas. The place is overrun with rodents. And there's one shop left in Balahedrine, one clothing shop in Balahedrine. That's what's left. What's happening now, because of people being able to convert buildings for people fleeing war and persecution, almost every building in the town is being converted and is housing all these people. We have no idea. You cannot walk the streets in Balahedrine. It is that bad, without being abused or feeling under threat. That's the way it is. And it's how it can be ignored any longer. I cannot understand how we do not. I myself can't get a doctor's appointment. There's no dentist in Balahedrine. We have to travel and wait 3 months to get a dental appointment in the next town over. We've been promised and promised and promised by the government for years that... So there's been reports done in Balahedrine, independent reports done years ago, before we got all of these. And out of the 10 areas in Balahedrine, I think 8 or 9 of them were on a par with Ballymun and Ballyfermot as far as how disadvantaged it was.
Yeah.
This is a small town.
So you already had a small... So the point is, you already had a small town that was disadvantaged. You already had a lack of services. You already had a lack of everything for the 2,387 people that were living there. And then all of a sudden you move a few hundred more people in on top of all that to make it even worse.
Yeah. So the one 4 or 5 star hotel that was vacant at the time because of the crash... that was handed over to them. So that's a centre for one lot of them. Now, the other hotel that's still running as a restaurant and a bar, they have 2 rooms available to the public because the rest of it has refugees in. Their function room is taken over for their dining hall. We have absolutely nothing in the town other than a couple of restaurants, a couple of pubs, and a supermarket.
Yeah, sorry, Pete. Well, hang on, Peter. You want to say something to Mary there, very quickly?
Yeah, just I fully understand.
I can listen to Mary all day there, to be honest with you, because she's describing it so well. But go on, yeah.
But she's fantastic. You know, it's heartbreaking. But that's the lived reality of what people are facing. I'll give you an example in terms of the urban area, in terms of Rathmines, right, where close to where I live. Currently, when about 15, 20 businesses have closed down. Small businesses have closed down. The post office now, they're planning on closing down and selling off. And now they open up a community centre. Not for everybody, just for Ukrainians. So you think they're creating division. And there's already people that are waiting up to 2 weeks for doctor's appointments. There's one or two dentists in the area. There's all these other issues as well. And you know what? people need to come up.
But here's the thing. There's already a problem. Mary has highlighted the major issue in Ballyhadrin, right? And I'm looking at an article here from only last week, March the 14th. Ballyhadrin is a dumping ground. Anger over modular homes for refusal proposals. There is frustration in the Roscommon town of Ballyhadrin over proposals to install 47 modular homes to cater for another 200 Ukrainian refugees. So they know there's already a problem. They know there's been massive objections, but they're still going ahead and putting more in. It doesn't make any sense.
Wait, the people of Ballyhadrin had a concerned citizens meeting last week, and it was lovely to see the amount of people that came out. But like that, the in Ballyhadrin for years. Now, Ballyhadrin in the late 80s or 90s had a halal meat factory. So we've always had people of different religions and different nationalities in our town. And they've always been welcome and they've integrated. I went to school. I'm in my 40s. I went to school with Pakistanis and they're as Irish as you can get. So that was back when they wanted to integrate. Like even at the meeting the other night, one of the guys from the local football team could say how an entire day was put on for the Syrians to come down and to the football team with coaches, with physios, everything. Now, the cost that went into that, I'm sure our Irish kids would or the local kids. And like that, it's not about being Irish because we all know that years, the Polish people and the Lithuanians or whatever else came to this country and had a job within 24 hours and have worked and contributed, they're the people that can't find accommodation. So there was 9 families in Ballyhadrin within the last couple of months that were, a bank took over the mortgage.
The mortgages, yeah.
9 families were given termination notices on the same day, right?
Okay, we'll have no time for that situation,
Yeah, but when the county, I've lived through that situation. We're out the far side of it, but I still know the amount of people that are through it, that are in that situation now.
Well, look, Mary, I'm not trying to cut short, but I have to finish up. I'm way over time. But listen, Mary, thank you very much indeed for coming on and explaining.
Since we're on the note of tents, the county council offered 9 army tents. If the site could be secured, the county council will offer 9 army tents for those 9 families while they can still put in 47 modular homes. So that's where the issue is.
So you're telling me there was 9 families who had lost their homes too because they couldn't afford their mortgages or whatever it happened, they lost their jobs.
Notices.
Yeah. Okay.
They got termination
notices from the banks, right? And the best the council could do was offer them tents. But they can make modular homes for Ukrainians or put in an application for 47 units to be installed for 206,000 Ukrainians.
Yes.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Listen, Peter, Mary, listen, thank you very much indeed. I'm sorry I have to cut it short there. I do apologise. But that kind of typifies everything, though, doesn't it? So 9 people in a small town, or 9 families, should I say, in a small town, lose their homes because the banks want to terminate the contract with them and want to evict them. And the best the council can offer them is a tent in a field for the 9 families in Ballyhadrin. But yet the same town and the local government management agency have put forward a plan to Roscommon County Council for 47 modular units for Ukrainian people. You couldn't make this shit up. You really couldn't. What happened to be Ireland first? And it's not like this kind of Britain first thing in the UK where it's a bunch of racists making comments. But it should be Ireland first. It should be our people, our nation, the people who pay tax in this country all their lives. Surely they should be given priority when it comes to anything, be it services, heating, home, energy, whatever, I don't know, everything. I mean, that it's not rocket science to say that. It's not racist to say that, by the way. Although some people will have you believe it is. And when it comes to these lads in the tents, let's get down to the bottom of these lads in the tents. I've seen a few of them being interviewed. They're not asylum seekers. They're economic migrants. They shouldn't be here. Yes, they shouldn't be treated the way they're being treated because the Irish government have let them into the country in the first place. But ultimately, whose fault is it? It's their own. They're the makers of their own destiny. They're here. Why? Because they didn't like Birmingham? Stop. One guy claimed he was from Gaza. If he's from Gaza, so am I. He wasn't from Gaza. That was just a good ploy to get sympathy. Let's be clear about it. The vast majority of people who are coming to this country seeking international protection will fail miserably because they do not fit the criteria. They're economic migrants. We need to put a system in place, and we need to put a robust system in place whereby when we bring people into this country, we process them in as quick a possible time as we can. And if they don't qualify as asylum seekers, they immediately must be deported. It's the only way. I do apologise. I've got a slight frog in my throat. That is the only way that we can deal with the asylum problem in this country and people seeking international protection and all of this arguing that's going on. If anybody has any other suggestions, I'd be happy to hear them, by the way. The number is 085-122-55. That's what 085-122-55. If you do want to send us any comments, we will gladly read them out on the air for you. Some of the messages, by the way, coming in as well on WhatsApp. I just tried to open them here. Michael on WhatsApp says, I live near the Strand Hotel. Oh my God, you should pass it someday. It's like downtown Islamabad. The do-gooders down there helping them should be ashamed. The same do-gooders wouldn't help Paddy if he was down on his luck. Virtue signaling sheriff tossers. Shame on them. To somebody else. And I'm looking at some of the other comments coming in, people texting and WhatsApping in all the time, by the way. Keep WhatsApping, keep texting. The number is 085-122-55. I do apologise for the coughing there. Some got in my throat and floating around the studio. But I will say to you, we should be allowed to have this debate. We should be able to talk about it. We should be able to discuss it without being called racist, without being called right-wing, without being called whatever it is you want to be called, people. Because it's important that we have debate. Remember, the government that are meant to be in charge of all this, they're not here at the moment. They've pissed off all over the world. They don't care about you. Let's be clear about that. There's an election coming up on the 6th, both the local elections and the European elections. Make sure in those elections you look at who you're voting for. Don't, this is my advice to you, don't vote for any of the traditional political parties or anybody involved with them because they don't care about you. They wanted you to vote yes to a referendum to remove mother and woman. Do you remember that? So it doesn't matter, even if you like the cut of this some guy's jib, but if he happens to be from Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, Labour or the Green Party, don't vote for them. There are two new parties there, of course, AIM2 and also Independent Ireland. You could look at them. They told you to vote no, didn't they? Look at some of your independents as well. But don't be voting for the traditional parties anymore. They don't deserve your vote. Thank you to everybody who got involved in today's show. It was quite a long one today. Over 2.5 hours, especially more at this stage now. 2 hours and 45 minutes. We would love you, by the way, to support the show because we have no other way of financing it. Remember, it costs us thousands every month to put this show together every single day. Three of us work for free. Please, if you can help by donating or by giving us something, please go to our website, nileboylan.com. That's nileboylan.com. You can donate there, by the way. A simple donation, Fiverr or 5 million. Or you can subscribe. And you can subscribe to watch all the previous videos of all the previous shows. And very soon we're going to be changing the system slightly whereby you'll be able to listen to the show during the day and watch it on the website rather than the other way around. We just feel it'll be more convenient for people because the majority of people that we talk to say they listen to it during the day but they can't actually get to watch it. So you'll be able to watch it on the website later on but listen to it live during the day. We'll be doing that on the website. And if you want to go at any stage, by the way, you can listen to the show live when it's on at nileboylan.com. I shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12. If there's anything you want us to discuss on the show, please send us a message to 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Just WhatsApp your message to us, telling us what you want us to discuss, and we will gladly do it for you. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.